Well, I get to preach today, hallelujah. And usually when I get up here, I'm not nervous, you know, I really enjoy preaching, but today is different, and I'm not nervous as much as I am vulnerable. This message has caused me to just be open, and vulnerable is the only word I can really equate that with, because I'm not scared to share with you, and I'm not scared to get real with you. I'm just asking you to get real with me today. So if I'm up here standing naked, then I need you guys to get naked with me, all right? That way we're not like, or we're at least like, okay. So close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes for a second. So today we're going to talk about obedience. And we're going to talk about our identity. So in order to do this, I need to get us all in the same place. So right now, in Jesus' name, by the power of his Holy Spirit, all of us together, online and in this house, I want you to get rid of all the things you think about yourself. I want you to get rid of your sexuality right now. Right now, you and me, we don't want to have sex with nobody. We are just spirits. I want you to get rid of, if you have, you know, if you're a punk rocker, if you're this, if you're that, I want you to get rid of, if you're a woman or a man, get rid of all of it. You're a spirit created by God in this moment. Amen? Okay. So now we're all just here together. Whew. Naked. The first thing that we need to talk about when we talk about obedience is our identity. Now, are we truly being obedient to who God says we are? Who are we really, by the way? And why do we do what we do? You see, we've been told our whole lives that we are this and we are that. You know, so part of my identity is, you know, okay, I'm a punk rocker, right? I have tattoos. I'm a tattooed Orange County, typical tattooed Orange County guy, right? I'm, you know, a recovering drug addict, you know, an alpha male, but also femme at the same time, right? And I've really come to embrace that since I've gotten saved. You know, I like to do things like, yay, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. But there's things about me, right, that I carry. It's part of my identity, you know, and same with you. Today I want to put all that stuff aside because first and foremost, you and I, at the very heart of everything, you strip everything away and someday everything will be stripped away. You and I are spirits made by one God. So, Paul, and I'm going to start off with an Ephesians. Paul's writing the church of Ephesus. And before I go into this, can I just share a little something with you? Because it just was revealed in between services to me, and I just got to share because it's funny. There's been so much warfare over this message, and I've been laughing all week, right? So I preached first service, man, and it went awesome, guys. My wife texts me in between services and goes, hey, just want you to know, just found page 6 chewed up in the backyard. Hope you don't need it. Love you. And I'm like, well, praise God that I haven't really looked at my notes all day today because that would have been a problem. So we're going like this we're going into a deep place today together. But I promise you this. I promise you it will be saturated in love. It will be saturated in grace. And I love that about this church is that we embrace grace and mercy. We have such a good hold on that. And I'm really proud of us. But we're going to enter into other things when it comes to identity. And here's Paul writing the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus is very much like us because they're pagans. They're idol worshiping pagans. They've been born and raised in a culture of idol worship. In fact, in Ephesus, I can't remember what the temple was called right off the hand, but it's the temple that they would go to and they would have sex with hookers, hoping that the gods that they were worshiping would prosper them. And they did that, and it was normal. That's just what they did. So Paul comes in onto the scene, and these churches start being built off the legend of Jesus Christ and all that he's done and who he is. And so Paul is writing this church to tell them who they are. And he says this in verse 11 of chapter 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, that's us, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So I'll stop right there. This is Paul acknowledging the identity of the church. And I want to say this, that I want you to know that we are children of God in this room. Our true identity is that when we said yes to Jesus Christ and asked him to our heart, we are a child of God. But also, just like alcoholics share in a meeting of AA. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, Chris. Doesn't mean that I'm physically struggling with alcohol at the moment. It means that I'm sharing to identify with the other people in the room, and I remind myself, just in case I ever want to have another drink of booze, that I have a disease. So it's the same thing I feel with admitting you're a pagan, idol worshiper. To me, it's just getting real with myself, because I do admit that about me. I know that about me. Why? Because I was born and raised in the same system you were. The belly of the beast. That little black box in your living room is an altar. And it's telling you a vision. Television. It's telling you a vision. It's telling you an identity. You and I have been raised by that little box. And you and I have, we have ideas about ourselves and who we are because of that box. That box raised me. So what I know about doing life and making it in the system, I learned. And so there were things about my life that I thought were normal, right? I thought sleeping with multiple partners was just what we do. It's just what we do. I thought abortion was just part of the thing. I'm ashamed of that, by the way, but that's what I thought. I literally thought, that's just part of the deal. Because that's what I was taught. That's what I looked at. That's what I saw. And so I want to remind us all of where we come from today, because it will help us battle against those very things. Because yes, salvation is free, you guys. Salvation is free in the sense of you can't do anything to earn it or unearn it. It's all about God and you, and he's chosen you. But salvation will cost you, and it's going to cost you the world. You can't have both. And this is Paul reminding them of who they are, that he's saying the circumcised, which are the Jews, the chosen ones, they're wrong too. Because what they're saying is if you cut your pee-pee, that means that you're good with God. Yeah. That's all about that, what that is. But yet I had my son circumcised. Why? Because I got circumcised and my dad did and his dad did and his dad did and his dad did. You see what I'm saying? I didn't do any investigating. I didn't do any research. I said, cut him. I'm cut, you cut them. That's what we do. But see, that's actually a really big decision. I mean, you're cutting your child. It's a big deal. And I'm not saying, look, see, I told you this is going to be a weird subject, right? Come on, Jonesy, come on, woo! Okay, so anything done in the flesh, this is Paul reminding us that it's not about what you do in the flesh. This is a circumcision of the heart. And what God has done, and here's the good news, because we'll continue, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, circumcised and uncircumcised, one. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the separation, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make those two into one new man, thus establishing peace with humanity, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And that is why Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. You see, our journey with Christ, it is free, guys. And grace is poured out on us. And like I said, we have a really good hold on that. But there are some things about us, there are some things that we do that as the more we are exposed to the love of God, the more we are exposed to him and realize, the more that I realize, wow, you know, I really am an idol worshiper. I look to those things to give me pleasure. And the more that I seek God and the more that he's revealed to me in his word, I see what he's saying about how those things are really not worth anything, that they don't really bring value to me. So he's, and what a great thing God did. And I mean, can you imagine, you guys? Literally, no hope and no God. We haven't been chosen. We're the Gentiles, you guys. And Jesus, I mean, God in his provision said, you know what? Those people that I chose, the Israelites, the Jews, they don't even want me. I'm going to choose the rest. I'm going to give choice to everybody. I'm going to make it so even the people that I said were my chosen people, now there's no more division. Now you're all the same. Now I've created, by sending my son and dying for you, being crucified for humanity, the firstborn of humanity, the second Adam. First Adam blew it, second Adam knocked it out of the park. So when we die, we resurrect into his life. See, we have to die to the life of Adam that screwed us over. Not like we wouldn't have done him the same way, by the way. So there's no reason to be mad at him. But we resurrect into the new life of Christ. So, here we go. We're talking about identity. And one of the big things about identity in Christ is our sexuality. I told you we were going to talk about some hard stuff today. But here's how we talk about it. Remember, we're all just spirits here. We're all just spirits here. So I know from experience, by being an idol-worshiping, satanic pagan, that I have bends in me. I did methamphetamine, okay? I got some sexual stuff in my head that is jacked up. Aha, you do too then. Other meth users in the house. My sexuality is skewed, to say the least. Remember, I was brought up. My first experience with sex, period, was like one class in like fourth or fifth grade. And, you know, you're like, I don't really even care about this. You know, girls are cute now, but what? And then porn. I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember being, what, 11, 12, whatever it was, 10, 9, I don't know, and being exposed to porn for the first time. And then watching that squiggly line and trying to, you know, trying to just catch a boobie, right? We all did. At least the guys did. That's how my sexuality was built. It's wrong. And that's okay. It's okay for me to admit it. It's actually healthy for me to admit it. Because then I can crucify my sexuality. And I've had to. And you will too. If you haven't already, you're going to need to at some point. Crucify your sexuality to Christ. It will free you. Because see, look, whether you're a heterosexual or a homosexual, sexual sin is sexual sin. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality. If you're still sleeping around and you're professing you love Jesus, I'm sorry, you're a liar. And it's like this, because I'm not trying to condemn you. God, His grace and His mercy is showered over you, my brother and my sister. I don't say that to condemn you. The grace of God is plentiful, but you are still a liar. That's what the Bible is trying to teach us. 1 John says this, 1 John 1, 5-10. This is the message we have heard from Him, Jesus, and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. I'll just stop right there, because I didn't want you to get offended by me calling you a liar. I am too. You got to understand that. And God gave me a beautiful revelation about the scripture. It's not that it's the way God sees us, because God's looking at us through the blood of Jesus. We are His kids. He sees us perfect and sinless. This is John exposing to us how we're supposed to feel about sin. We're supposed to go, oh my gosh. God, in this moment right here, I didn't believe You at Your word. I didn't believe that what You have for me is more valuable than this sin that I like so much. And I say this, it's normal for a pagan church to struggle with idols. Jesus is asking His beautiful bride to just call a spade in our lives. And go, you know what? This is an idol. This I put before God on a regular basis. I need to take this to Him. And let me tell you something, sisters and brothers, there's no way I'm getting rid of this unless I read something or hear something that tells me that Jesus is more valuable than this. I have to have the revelation that God and what He has for me is going to give me more than this. Until I do, you know, and I can do a lot of this, and this is good, and this is part of the process too, right? No. Okay, I've been in Your word. I've been in worship. We've been really getting to know each other a lot better. And I'm starting to realize things. God, I'm starting to realize what I thought was okay isn't okay. And You're really starting to mess with the way I'm doing life right now. So I get it, God. I'm going to set it away, you know. Maybe I'll have a bad day, right? A bad day. Oh, well, don't really like the way my wife was talking to me today. She doesn't appreciate me. Maybe I'll just, you know, entertain this a little bit. Because, you know, I've been good for so long. Normal behavior for a pagan. Normal behavior. Still saved, still love Jesus. Struggling with idols. So what do I need to do? Keep searching, keep knocking, keep. God says, seek and you will find. That's his promise. You know why we're not finding? Because we ain't seeking. If I'm not going to get rid of my little pet sin, if I Netflix and chill. There ain't nothing wrong with Netflix and chilling. But how about some Jesus and growing? Right? Everybody deserves a little downtime, baby, but how long is your downtime? We're at war, people. You see, we're sheep. Whether you could be the baddest mamma jamma in this room, you're a sheep. You are influenced by so much, easily influenced. How do I know that? So I'm a sheep. So I find myself. If I do it, you do it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm nobody or nothing, but I do know I'm pressing into God. I'm going hard for him. I want freedom. I'm tired of being in bondage to Chris Jones. Baby, he died. I crucified him. And I resurrected in the life of Jesus. So we'll carry on. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We can see one another. We can connect with one another. I lost my place. Okay, there it is. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. These are heavy scriptures. And I get why people don't like to preach on them a whole lot. But here's the thing, and this is the beautiful thing. It's not God's perspective on us. It's kind of what I thought. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be our perspective. This is supposed to be our perspective, but nobody's ever taught us this perspective. Why? Because the TV teaches us the other perspective about the new Corvette or this new house or the credit card or the new electric bike or the video game or a Harley. Stuff that's going to make you feel good. You need it. You need it. That's what we've been taught. Work, buy, die. Work really hard. Grind it out. Because you got a family to feed and you got stuff to do and you better grind it out. Work, buy, die. That's what the system's got for you. That's the system's, that's it giving back. Jesus has offered us a gift, an inheritance. You know, when we think about an inheritance from Christ, we think about all the crowns in heaven and what we're gonna have. Listen to me. When you get an inheritance from the one who owns everything and all things and an endless supply of all of it, you can draw from your inheritance now. And you should, and he wants us to. We have an inheritance, you guys. When we killed ourselves on that cross with Jesus, resurrected into his life, we have now been resurrected above the minutia. It's how we can look at the world going hell in a handbasket and have so much joy. Why? Because this ain't it. This ain't my world. I got a place to go, but because of who I serve, because who I've made my God, even though I'm an idol-worshipping pagan who loves you, Jesus. I am chasing after you, and I want you more than these stupid idols. And I know you will expose them to me the more that I just get into your word, and I pray, and I repent, and I try. Your grace and your mercy will shower over me as you expose your word and make it come alive to me. And that's when I'll believe, God. I know it. I know it because you've done it in so many other areas of my life. You will do it here. And so all I need to do is be faithful with that. All I need to do is just call a spade in my life. What are the idols in my life? What do I search for comfort? You know what? I'm even going to... Coffee. And I know, oh God, you're going to get all legalistic, Jonesy. I get it. But like, look, it is what it is, right? Listen, the truth is a hard line. We try to get it, you know, oh yeah, we love the truth, just right here. We love the truth, just like this. So it fits my life better. We can't do that anymore. We got to make our life fit the truth. We don't move the truth. So I understand that I even though I'm going to struggle with idols, I can't make that okay. Okay, so the coffee thing, that's not, who cares, right? One cup of coffee every day. You're right, who cares? But I still need to say, Jonesy, next time you fast, why don't you fast from that? See what I mean? My flesh goes, no! No, 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 that's stupid. Fast from something that's easy. Like Facebook, you hate that. Even though I'm on it, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. I told you, we're going to be real. It's about calling a spade in our life. You know what? This is that. This is an idol. This is not bringing me what I thought. And even though I may, you know, participate in that because I'm stuck in the belly of the beast and we're just trying to live, I put it in perspective, God. I put it in perspective of my life that it is what it is. And this, your word, your presence in your church with your community, that's where I thrive. That's where I go for my information. I'm going to turn off the mainstream media and I'm going to get into my Bible. I'm going to climb out of the rabbit hole because it's both sides, guys. Both sides are pulling for you. Both sides want you angry and divided. It's true. And I don't want that to happen in the house of God. And I'm just going to say this. And I love everybody here, and I hope you love me. Vaccinated or not vaccinated, I love you. Don't not let that separate us. Don't let it separate us. Amen. We are in this thing together. Your life is in God's hands, and He will bring you home when He's ready. Okay? We're not going to tempt Him. We're not going to go do triple black flips off the church building and say, you're going to save us because it's not my time to go. We're not going to do that. We're not going to tempt God, but we're not going to be afraid either. I don't want you to be afraid to connect with people. You shouldn't. You don't need to. You're a hope dealer. You're a healer. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. Same one that raised Jesus from the dead. Same one that healed all those people lives inside of you. You ain't spreading COVID. You're spreading peace. You're spreading love. You're spreading hope. Okay? Amen. Amen. And listen, so nobody takes this and runs with it. Oh, Pastor Chris said nobody can catch COVID because they're Christian. That's not what I mean. But it seems like the stuff's getting passed around and it's just getting passed around, okay? Yeah, we're in it, but we're all in it together. So if being vaccinated makes you feel comfortable, if non-vaccinated makes you feel comfortable, awesome. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, that's enough of that. So let's go to the next scripture. Oh, yeah. I told you I'm missing page 6, but we don't need it, right? All right. So now we've kind of established who we are, right? So now we know that, look, the devil, all the devil can do to us, because he's already kind of got us, right? Because we're all twisted up in his system. And so he's already got ways that he can just fire his bullets at us. And he does it all day long from the second you wake up to the second you go to sleep. We're pelted, right? But all he can do is tempt us. That's something you need to know. It's the temptation. It's the temptation that comes, and then it's when we grab onto it and we, that does sound like a good idea. That's our part in it. This is what the apostles are writing about when they say, look, man, if you say you're walking in the light and you're really doing this, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're not walking in the light. It's in this particular area of your life. Don't lie to yourself and say it's okay. That's the pagan. That's the system telling you, hey, everybody else does it. It's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. You know what I mean? Like, I got to keep it G-rated. So, yeah, we'll just move on. Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Therefore, since we are all these things, since we now know kind of what we're up against, from our past to now. Now, again, we are new creations in Christ. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have the power of God that raises the dead and heals the sick that lives in us. That being said, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, you can have hope. You can have hope for that grace. You know, okay, so I'm struggling, you know, not right now, praise God, but I did struggling with porn, right? Hey, you grew up like that. It's been like that forever. Man, everybody watches porn. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, it's not working for you. Especially if you're married to a Christian woman or you're married at all. It really is cheating. It's cheating. It's cheating with a fake person. It's cheating with a picture, a pixel. Do you understand that? That's how sinister the devil is. It's not even a real human. And he's got you. It's a digital screen. It's fake. Like the fake lives that we live on Facebook. And all the friends that we have, right? Oh, we're so loved. 1,000 friends, right? Yeah. It's the love of God. It's believing him at his word. It's really like, really, really, God? Like, could I really be free from this? Because I've been watching porn my whole life. And I do, you know, I love my wife or, you know, if you're a woman, I love my husband and it's a bend in me. God knows. God knows. And he knows how hard it is. But he does, here's the thing. Seek and you shall find. Seek him. Go to him with it. Whatever that is. It doesn't have to be porn. I'm just bringing it up because it kind of glazes over everybody. You know what I mean? You can put whatever you want there, but you need to bring it to Jesus. Bring it to him. And it helps, like even with the sexuality thing. You know, if you're struggling with being a homosexual or maybe you're a guy that wants to dress like a girl or a girl that wants to dress like a guy. Look, we're all here. Down here on earth doing the best that we can. And I love you and I hope that you love me. But we have to strip everything down. We have to strip away all the stuff that we think we are to get to the very essence of who we are before we can talk about that stuff. Because I can't talk to you about, you know, gender or homosexuality without us both crucifying our sexuality. We have to both put it on the cross. We have to both take it out of the mix so we can connect. What is really important? What does God say? What is really important? Because let me tell you something. The act of sex is really animalistic. If you can look at it, I mean, animals do it. When you're talking about love, Jesus wasn't running around having sex with everybody. Do you know why? Because he really, really saw us. He saw us in a way that God sees us. And see, we can look at each other in the same way. That's our inheritance. But we have to get into him. We have to get into that kind of a love. We don't just get it from the system. We can't just have it. And you can't have it if you're holding on to this. You don't get both. You don't get the things of God and the things of the world. You get to choose. And God is gracious about that. But even Peter, when he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, he's talking about taking your cloak and tucking it into your belt so you can easily move around, so you can fight. It says, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Meaning, when you wake up in the morning, it's on. You're not waking up, okay, well, another day, you know. And I mean, I get it, you can, but you should be waking up going, okay, God, I know my life ain't about my 9-to-5. I don't even really like it that much, but it pays the bills. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for it, but that ain't me. So, God, I'm waking up today, and the first thing I'm doing is getting into you. Whether that be reading your word, whether I just be out on my back patio listening to worship. Maybe I'm the only one up right now worshiping you, God. And you feel it, don't you? You feel it. You can feel me loving on you right now. You can feel it, can't you? And just get into him, God. Okay, so today's not about work, is it? Give me eyes to see a need. Lord, help me be a builder today. Help me and may the words of my mouth, because I still cuss so much, God. Still cuss so much. So, God, help me with that. You know, help me with those things that may stumble people, or help me not to be so into myself and my stuff and my adversities and my this and my that I miss caring about others. Because that's the investment, guys. When Jesus says you guys can stack up riches in heaven, you best believe it's got everything to do about with relationship and you dying. When you say, oh, it ain't about me, Jesus, it's about you and your people. Bing, bong, cha-ching. But see, that goes against your flesh. That goes against everything you've been taught in the system. Get all you can, sit on the can, and hey, good luck. It's the very opposite that will bless you. You get up during the day, and you know you got a day ahead of you. But you got Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit, and he is your ride or die, you guys. I want to encourage you to have that kind of relationship with God. We're me and you, Jesus, me and you, Holy Spirit, ride or die today, baby, ride or die. Help me in my situations and help me behave in such a way that I don't even drive you away, Holy Spirit. Because if I partake in the darkness, if I choose the darkness, the Holy Spirit ain't going with me. He ain't going to partake in that stuff. Does Jesus still love me? Yes. Am I still going to heaven? Probably yes. I'm not God, so I wouldn't dare say who gets to go and who don't. That's all. But I know what the word says. I know that he's a just and grateful, gracious God. So I know that his blood covers. His blood removes, in fact. But I to grow, you to grow, we must get honest. Finally, get honest and go, God, whew, oh, I'm an idol-worshiping Christian. I profess my love to you, Jesus. I even tell people how much faith I have in you, and yet I am so afraid. I still operate in this system. I still look to the system to give me comfort. I still think that the next president will save us. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me really live that resurrected life that you said I could have. Because see, God's got a gift for us too. He says you can live in my resurrected life, but you have to take it. You have to reach out and take it. And in order to reach out and take it, you need to drop the world. Drop what you got so tightly of the world. Like, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. And it's true. We're doing that right now. This is me right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you. He's like, okay, you love me? Great. Follow me. Listen to me. I'll have grace on you. We'll work on it. You may drop this down and pick it up 10 times, 30 times, whatever. But you keep seeking, you keep knocking, and my word will change your life. I will change you, says God. There ain't no sin. There ain't no sin on this earth that when he finally reveals himself to you in that you'll go, oh, that's better. You won't. You won't. For a guy like me, all twisted up, you know, from the meth that I used and all the freaky stuff I did, to me, not to struggle with porn is a freaking miracle. And I don't, guys. I can say with honesty that I don't. But it's not because, oh, good job, Jonesy. No, no. Jonesy can't do it, man. What Jonesy did was he forsake the, you know what? Fine, I had to, and within the last, you know, couple years, right, or a year, 2 years, whatever, I said, fine, I'm all in, God. I'm all in with you then. I'm gonna stop watching so much TV, and I'm gonna start studying your word. I'm gonna get into your word. I'm gonna quit listening to so much punk rock music, and I'm gonna listen to more worship. That's all I did. And because so it's not me, right? The only thing that I get to take credit for is going, I want to pattern my life to invite Christ into it. Yay for me, you know? And that's your job too. That'll be yay for you. The more the stuff that you take out of the world and you bring in God, the better your life will get. Because you will get that revelation. You will realize one day, this is not valuable. Whatever I'm doing, doesn't do it for me what it did. It used to ring my bell. Now it's like, God's good like that. Because it's that that's going to change you. It's that that's going to go, ew, yuck, yay. I don't struggle with porn anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a process, but you got to get in the game. Amen? You got to get in the game. So we'll finish it as obedient in verse 14, and I got to close. We didn't get past page 4, by the way. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Be holy. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So it's like this. God is, it's an invitation. You know, and I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of my Christian life feeling like this was more of a have to. You know, you got to do this. Come on. Quit sinning, you guys. Stop it. Just stop it. Kind of what it felt like. But God's revealed this to me is it's not like that at all. It is a process. It's a journey. But God's just asking for us to be all in with him. Like, okay, God, I'm going to be real with you because you already know everything. I'm getting real with myself in front of you. I'm a sinner. I'm going to call sin, sin, because if you call it sin, God, I'm going to call it sin, and then we'll work on it together. That's it. His grace and his mercy. Oh, he will, if you even just set that thing down, what he's going to pour on you,
It will be so worth it. It will be so worth it. And you will find freedom. Because for who the Son sets free is free indeed. And just like those Jews were confused about the circumcision and the uncircumcision, it doesn't matter what the physical aspect of our life is, what we look like, how many tattoos we have, whatever. None of that matters. What matters is that our heart that's been seared by the world, hardened by life in the pagan world that we live in. It's been hardened, you guys. It's been seared by sin, pain, lies. God wants to circumcise that. That's what he means. Let me surrender your life to me. I know it's going to be messy, says God. I'm good with that. He goes, I don't expect you to be perfect because I was. That's why I sent my Son to take your place. But I want you, says God, you got to get in the game. Pick up your cross and follow my Son. And that means crucifying the things that even, you know, you might have rights to. But it'll be worth it. And you will find him in the scriptures. The more that you incorporate worship and the word into your life, that will change your life. A prayer is not going to change your life. I mean, I take that back. God can do anything he wants, and he does miracles all the time. So that's not a true statement, but sanctification is a process. It just is. And we have been pagans for a long, long time. You know, it took Jesus 3 years to empty out his disciples so he could fill them in one instant with the Holy Spirit. And these were people that were literally physically with him for 3 years. And it took him 3 years. He's taking his time with us. He wants to empty us out of all the idols. He's filled us with his Spirit. But the more that we get rid of the world, the more that we say, no, not you, Jesus, you. The more powerful our lives are going to get, the more you will see that the things of this world do not mean what they used to mean. They do not have value like they used to. You'll still take care of your family. You'll still work hard. You'll still buy motorcycles. That's okay. Keep it in perspective. That's not what's important to you. What's important to you is people. What's important to you is your relationship with the Creator, with the source of your happiness, of your peace, of your future. He is. And so you can live in a life of peace. We're done. It's 12:30. See, I told you. Should I preach for another hour? No. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so listen. A little special prayer today. If I do a salvation call, right? And if there is somebody in here that's never given their life to Jesus, or maybe you have and you know you've backslidden, we're going to pray today. And this is what I mean. That prayer is not going to change you, but what that prayer does is it opens you up. God, I'm saying I want you to circumcise this hardened heart. And even if you prayed that prayer before, but you know that your heart's hardened again, we can pray today. Because see, God is a renewing God. He's a restoring God. He has not condemned you. He loves you. But he wants you to get back on track today. Today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've backslidden and you haven't been living for him, or how about this? Let me throw this in here. You're a seasoned Christian, but you're an idol worshiper too. And you know you got idols in your life. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray with you today. And we're going to ask God to remove that stuff. Amen? So if you're that person, raise your hand and we'll pray. Amen. I see your hands. All right, let's pray. So just repeat this prayer after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart, and change me. I ask you to expose every idol that I worship, because I declare today I turn away from those idols and I turn to you. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Break every chain and every shackle that the beast has put on me in Jesus' name. So I accept my freedom and I say, today I am yours and you are mine. Therefore, today I'm saved, today I'm changed in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. Happy Sunday. See you next week.